Thomas Mission, which is our university ministry. I preached this sermon previously at Sojourn, and we don't have a PowerPoint, and I remembered about 10 minutes before the service that I was supposed to have a PowerPoint. And I had thought about it multiple times between then and now, so please bear with me. Take detailed notes if that's who you are. Ask me questions afterwards if you don't hear some of what I have to say, because it won't be on the PowerPoint. In the New Testament, there are a variety of ways in which the Apostle Paul in particular describes the people of God that are really, really fascinating. Brothers and sisters, those who have been adopted into the family of God. We are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. We are beloved ones. Those who were once far off, but have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Strangers, in fact, enemies, turned family of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't think there's any way to read the scriptures and not come away realizing that the gospel is about strangers becoming family. The good news is the story of how enemies and strangers have become brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. According to the letter to the Ephesians, we who were once far off have been brought near. And now our vocation, our calling as a church is to continue this mission and to welcome enemies and strangers into the household of God. In fact, we are strangers welcoming strangers. Even after the Israelites settle in the land, they continue to be reminded they are aliens. They are not settled permanently, and so they are to welcome aliens. And in the New Testament, we continue to be sojourners. This world is not our final dwelling place. And so we are strangers welcoming strangers. And this is hospitality. It is no more, it is no less. And I would suggest to you that this, in fact, is the gospel. Christ sought us out as strangers and enemies, reconciled us to himself, and welcomed us into his family. This is the gospel. And this is all throughout the scriptures, from the story of Israel to the church. The people of God are repeatedly reminded that they are strangers who are to be hospitable to strangers. In the book of Deuteronomy, there is a repeated refrain that comes after the Lord giving a command. The refrain is this: remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. This is why I give you this command. And the refrain comes after commands to be hospitable. It comes after commands to be kind and generous to strangers, widows, and orphans. The Israelites were to care for the stranger, the widow, and the orphan because they themselves were strangers and refugees and had been redeemed and constituted as God's people. In the New Testament, the story is the same. It's extended, it's expanded to all the world, but it's the same. When Paul writes to the Ephesians, specifically to Gentile believers, he says, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and you are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So the story of the scriptures is the story of strangers and aliens becoming family. And this is the foundation upon which we are to practice hospitality. We are hospitable because God was hospitable to us. Or it's another way of saying, quite simply, we love because he first loved us. So let's talk about this a little bit. First, what is hospitality? And second, how do we practice it? So first, what is it? In the epistle to the Romans that we read from this morning, St. Paul instructs the Christians in Rome to share with the Lord's people who are in need and to practice hospitality. The word for hospitality here and in the rest of the New Testament could literally be translated as love for the stranger or befriending the stranger or simply as stranger love. We talk about brotherly love, about platonic love, about romantic love. Hospitality is stranger love, stranger focused. Now, it may surprise you to learn that in the ancient world, hospitality was a very important practice, even actually a virtue. In the Greco-Roman world in particular, people relied upon the hospitality of strangers because there weren't established hotels and motels and restaurants in the ways that there are in contemporary society. However, there were important caveats attached to the sort of hospitality they practiced. The first caveat was that hospitality was always intended to be reciprocal, or there was an expectation of reciprocity. It was not a freely given gift, but it always came with strings attached. Second, and this follows from the first, is that hospitality was not often offered to those who could not return the favor. In the Christian church, however, the free offering of welcome and care toward the sick, refugees, widows, prisoners, orphans, without any expectation of reciprocity, quickly became the norm, and it was noticed in society. In fact, during the time of the early church, this sort of hospitality was seen by many as essentially the greatest proof of the Christian tradition, of the Christian religion. This was observed by both Christians and non-Christians. In the fourth century, after the Roman Empire was largely Christianized, the Emperor Julian, who was not a Christian and sought to return the empire to pagan worship, he recognized that the reason so many people were converting to Christianity was because of their hospitality. And in fact, in his own attempt to reestablish traditional Greco-Roman religious practices, he instructed his priests to imitate Christian concern for strangers and care for strangers. He wrote, "Do you not observe that it is precisely their benevolence to strangers, their care for the graves of the dead, and the holiness of their lives that have done the most to increase Christianity?" So this non-Christian emperor was not threatened, in fact, by the philosophy of Christianity or the beliefs of biblical religion, but to him, he felt threatened by the power of Christian witness in this radical hospitality, this care for strangers. A Christian philosopher named Aristides had this to say in his defense of the Christian religion. It's not what we would expect. And he's writing this, it is a defense. It's not just a description. He says, "Falsehood is not found among the Christians. They love one another. From widows, they do not turn away their esteem. They deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly. And he who has gives to him who has not without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a very brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brothers and sisters after the spirit in God." When Aristides is writing his defense for the Christian religion, his go-to argument sounds nothing like the sort of Christian apologetic we hear today. His go-to argument is, look at the way they welcome strangers. Look at the way they love one another. Look at the way they care for one another. And he notes in particular that this stranger love, this hospitality, is a familial sort of love. It's welcoming people as family. Rosaria Butterfield, who's the author of an excellent book on hospitality called The Gospel Comes with a House Key, I would very, very much encourage everyone to read it. It's quite a simple, relatively short book. She says that hospitality, the intention is to turn strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family of God. To turn strangers into neighbors and neighbors into family of God. The trajectory is to welcome people into our family. And this sort of stranger care was the norm for Christians. And it was one of the principal reasons why many people were converted to Christianity. And for centuries, it was a defining feature of Christian communities and of churches. So we have to ask ourselves, what has changed? What does this look like for us in our context? If hospitality is a defining feature of the church, or should be, how are we to practice it as a community? Now, I mentioned a minute ago that in the ancient world, hospitality was largely about who you are hospitable towards, who you are welcoming. It was about the status, often, of the person who you welcomed into your home or into your community. For Christians, hospitality is freely given to all. It is given indiscriminately precisely because the name of every stranger is Jesus. So Christians are attentive to who we're being welcoming to, but we're welcoming Jesus into our midst. For the Christian, every stranger, we should see strangers as Jesus and care for them as Christ in the midst of us. This is the command of Matthew 25 and the warning of Matthew 25, which is quite harsh. Jesus says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to drink, to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a prisoner and you came to visit me. I was sick and you looked after me.' And the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I say to you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did for me.'" For a long time now, I think the Christian church has tended to separate this passage, which speaks about material care for the needy, from passages that speak about hospitality. Hospitality in our minds is hosting guests in our homes. It often conjures up images of perfectly set tables, sparkly clean houses, quiet children, and pleasant conversation. This is not Christian hospitality. There are certainly places for fellowship of this sort, but to suggest that this is what is meant by the stranger-turned-brother kind of love that is biblical hospitality is to suggest something far removed from what the Bible says when it talks about hospitality. Moreover, we have taken what is discussed in Matthew 25, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, visiting prisoners, etc., and we've institutionalized these things in hospitals, food banks, and charities, and those are really good things. The ways that those institutions are able to care for people is far beyond what we would be able to do, even as our own families and our families, the church. Those are very good things. But to my mind, there's no way to read the story in Matthew 25 and to believe that it is sufficient to have those organizations or to support those sorts of organizations. The sort of stranger care described here is personal, it is face-to-face, it is vulnerable, it's a little bit scary, and someone will get hurt. And if we're modeling our hospitality on Jesus, who do you think is going to get hurt? Where did Jesus end up? Now, it is important to note, and actually this is really important. It's important to note that hospitality and fellowship are not the same thing. Fellowship, or sharing together, sharing our life together, is sort of the Acts 2 church we hear so much about, where they were together praying, breaking bread, listening to the apostles' teaching, sharing all they had with each other. This life together is fellowship. The word in the New Testament is koinonia, but it is not hospitality. Hospitality is specifically stranger-focused. This doesn't mean necessarily people you've never met before, people you don't actually know at all. But it is focused upon those who are strangers, who are outside of our family, who are outside or on the fringe of our community. It is welcoming strangers into our life together, into our fellowship, by caring for them with no strings attached. So when we welcome them into our fellowship, we care for them as if they are our own family. And as Christians, what I said earlier, when we say that we see our brother or sister in the face of the stranger, when we welcome them as family, we aren't just talking about any brother and sister, but we actually are talking about Jesus. Do you see Jesus in the face of the stranger? If not, I think we're actually missing out on the blessing of hospitality. The blessing of hospitality is not, it should be clear by now, the reciprocity we might expect to receive in return. Rather, the blessing of hospitality is nothing less than being near to Jesus in the person of a stranger. Being near to Jesus in the person of a stranger. Notice I said very little about welcoming people into our homes and quite a lot about welcoming people into our family. Not our families, per se, but our family as the people of God, as the family of God. I think this is a big mental shift. Most of us, I'm sure, have seen Beauty and the Beast, and there's the really well-known song in Beauty and the Beast, be our guest, put our service to the test, which is what we think of when we think of hospitality. And there's actually something to that. There's something special about that sort of welcome. But first and foremost, hospitality is not that. Hospitality is be our brother, be our sister, make yourself at home in our community. Join with us. So how do we do it? How do we practice hospitality? I admit that a lot of what I've said probably sounds idealistic. It sounds like I'm not really concerned for the difficulties, the stress, the weariness that could come with this sort of hospitality. And those things are all true. But I'm not now going to list all those caveats, all those ways in which we navigate it. So how do we practice it? First, because I know some of us are thinking it, I was thinking it, it's really important to remember to realize that hospitality is not actually a gift for individual Christians, primarily. It doesn't show up in the lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. It shows up in descriptions of what the church is called to be. Even when it does show up in a list describing leaders in the church, deacons in Paul's letter to Timothy, that list is actually incredibly ordinary. It's a list describing how Christians are to be. There's very little that is exceptional about it. Welcoming the stranger into our lives as a brother and sister is a command for all Christians. No one gets a free pass. Now, some of us will have a certain vocation or a certain calling or a certain sort of hospitality that will not be true for everyone else. There will be seasons in which we'll be hospitable in different ways. There will be seasons in which it'll be unable for us to be hospitable in certain ways. If you are caring for example, young children, it's not going to be as easy for you to welcome people into your home if that's the sort of hospitality you will be doing. If you're caring for elderly parents, the way in which you welcome will be different because there is a circumstance in your home that will change how you are hospitable. But, as I said earlier, it's not primarily about welcoming people into our homes. The shape of our hospitality as individual Christians will look different, but none of us can ignore it. It is a command and an expected way of life for everyone, but it's actually not a command to individuals, primarily either. In Romans 12, which we read earlier, hospitality follows a number of plural commands, collective commands, or just statements about how the church should be functioning. When St. Paul says to be practicing hospitality, it is a command to the community as a whole. Be doing this together. Be doing this together. So we have to ask ourselves, how do we together practice this sort of stranger-turned-brother kind of love? How do we practice hospitality, not primarily in our own families, in our own homes, as in our sort of nuclear families and the dwelling places that we live in, but in our community as a church, in our home groups, in the communities that we are a part of here as the family of God? The first step, I believe, is actually fellowship. It's actually our life together. I mentioned earlier that fellowship is not hospitality, that our life together is not hospitality, but it is, I believe, actually a prerequisite for hospitality. If we ourselves are not living life together as the family of God, how can we welcome others into the life of this family? On Friday, a few of us had the immense privilege of speaking with Christine Pohl, who taught a class at Regent this past week. And she's written two unbelievable books. They're a little bit more difficult than The Gospel Comes with a House Key that I mentioned earlier, but they're still very readable. The first was a reworking of her doctoral dissertation, which is on hospitality. It's called Making Room. And she basically traced the history of Christian hospitality and made the case of this has always been part and parcel to the Christian church, really until the 18th century when it dispersed in some ways and became a little bit, the language of hospitality ceased to be used because it became, it was used in other ways and not used in the welcoming of strangers and caring for strangers as it had been used earlier. So she wrote that book, Making Room, on hospitality, which is excellent. But then she realized after writing that book, a number of people were coming to her who were part of congregations and intentional communities. And they said to her, Christine, it's actually a lot easier for us to welcome strangers than it is for us to sustain our life together as a community. And she thought, interesting. And so she began researching practices that sustain communities in the long term. How do communities sustain their life together? Churches, intentional communities, home groups, families. And that second book is called Living Into Community. But she notes that it's actually impossible to be hospitable in the long term if we don't have a flourishing internal life as a community. So that's a whole other sermon or sermon series on its own. But we can't expect to welcome people into our family if we are not together flourishing and functioning as a family amongst ourselves. Now, the good news is, I actually think we're doing a really good job of this at University Chapel and Sojourn. I think there are many ways in which our life together, and particularly in recent times, is sort of gearing up for hospitality. We're ready to be welcoming to strangers. At Sojourn, one of the things that we've started doing over the past couple of years is having a dinner after our service. And it's a little more possible for us because we're quite a bit smaller. But I think it's honestly one of the most Christian decisions we've made as a community. And multiple times there have been people who have stayed within our community for either a short period of time while they were here or for a longer term because they were welcomed into our fellowship meal after our service. And I genuinely believe that some of them would not have stayed had we not had that dinner. It's a place that's charged for hospitality. The life we have together in our fellowship is charged for hospitality. The other thing that Christine Pohl mentioned on Friday was that the two elements of hospitality in the Christian tradition are always eating together and conversation. Eating together and conversation. They always come up. Meals and conversation. Not necessarily conversation around the dinner table, but meals and extended, intentional conversation. There's a few other ways that I think we're doing a really good job of this. Something that surprised me, I suppose, is actually the playground that we have here. So I didn't think much of the playground when we were building it. Not like I wasn't against it. I just hadn't thought about it. I didn't have a daughter at that point. My daughter still is not playing on the playground, but she will. But if you're a parent of a child who plays on that playground or any playground, you know that the playground is charged for hospitality. And what I mean by that is that people gather around as kids play on the playground, sometimes parents play as well, and you encounter others who are strangers, whether they're visitors to our community on a Sunday afternoon or whether they are strangers from the neighborhood. I'm here during the week, and there are people on that playground. It's not only used after church on Sundays. It's charged for hospitality. It draws people in, and it leads towards conversation. Now, I'm going to say something controversial, but I think it's really important. If you're a parent and you're overly inclined to remind your children of the maxim stranger danger, can I just say that I believe a posture of stranger danger is actually antithetical to the gospel? If that's your primary posture towards strangers, towards people you don't know. It's actually literally the opposite of hospitality. in the Greek words. Stranger danger, fear of the stranger, is literally the opposite of love for the stranger. Now, I get it. We need to watch out for our children, and we need to be careful. We need to be aware who we're interacting with, of course. But if we teach ourselves and our children to see strangers at the playground or in other places, but that's to see strangers as potentially dangerous and not as Jesus, then an atmosphere that is charged with potential for turning strangers into neighbors and neighbors into brothers and sisters in Christ is rendered powerless. If we teach ourselves to see strangers as potentially dangerous and not as Jesus in our midst, we're not going to be hospitable to them. So the playground, like the community dinner we have after our service in the evening, is a locus of hospitality. But we need to see strangers who come near us as Jesus. We need to see them as Jesus. I also think, and maybe this is a vision in my mind that has not come to fruition yet, but I really believe that the community garden project that a few of us are trying to start on this corner of the church here, as it grows, will be a potential locus for hospitality as well. The community space that grows around it will be a formative piece in our community as we connect with one another, with our neighbors in our parish and in our community, and with the creation that we are called to care for. It's a locus of hospitality. I think I would be amiss if I didn't talk about St. Thomas Mission. The vision of St. Thomas Mission has sort of taken shape to be a community of learning and of formation and of hospitality. The importance of hospitality in our vision took place over the first year, as there's been people have just kind of come in and out of our home. And our home has become sort of a community that's charged for hospitality. And this has happened kind of organically as we've lived together with others in our house, as we've practiced community together. But primarily, the reason that we've been able to be welcoming to others is because we have dinners together, and we welcome others to those meals. So we welcome students over for meals, and that has extended beyond our weekly dinners to other times during the week, as people come to a place where they feel like they can rest and be welcomed. Now, finally, I won't be saying anything new when I tell you that we need to rethink who the least of these are in our present context. So I read earlier from Matthew 25, and the least of these, I think, are very much still strangers, orphans, widows, less so, but we don't really think about that very much. It's not as evident to us the immediate need of widows, those who are without clothes, without food, without shelter, prisoners. Those are still the least of these. But in my view, actually, without question, many, many students who come to UBC fit the description, as do many others that we encounter every day. But particularly students, they fit the description as strangers, as aliens, as outsiders. They come from all over the world and are thrust into a new way of life. They need to learn a new language often, a new city. They need to learn how to be adults. They're in a new study environment. And they will find a new community. And often it will be with whoever is most hospitable to them. And this, by the way, is why so many Christians, I believe, cease to actually continue going to church during their university years and beyond. It's not because of some convincing secular ideology. It's because they receive greater hospitality from non-Christian communities and from the church. And like it or not, we are a university church. And as a university church, we have a vocation to be the most hospitable people here. And I think, as I've said, I think we're actually doing a good job. I think there are lots of ways in which we are actually moving towards being an incredibly hospitable community as we practice our life together. And there are steps that we're taking to be in fellowship with one another in a way that draws others into our community. But we need to live and breathe hospitality. This is all of us together. We have a vocation, a calling to welcome the strangers who are in our midst. So the question is, when you see the stranger, when Jesus draws near to us in the face of the stranger, do we invite him in, into our fellowship, into our life together? Remember, you who were once far off have been brought near. You who were strangers to the gospel, enemies of Jesus Christ, we who were going our own way, have been brought near and made family. And Jesus continues this work of stranger love and family making in us. And this is the mission of the church. This is precisely why I said earlier that hospitality is the gospel. It is strangers turned neighbors and neighbors turned family of God. Brothers and sisters, this is actually really exciting as we live together in God's family, that we have been brought near to Christ it is our great cause for celebration, that we have been reconciled into his family. And as we delight in that reality, we should be contagious in drawing others in. And I really do think that we're doing a good job. Let me pray, and then we'll move on to the service. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we have been brought near, that we have been reconciled to you, that we are part of your family, that you have drawn us into communion with you and with one another. And we ask that as we practice our life together, as we worship together, celebrate together, live together, that you would cause us to be attentive to those who are around us, those who come near, those who we see in the streets, those who we see in our workplaces, those who we see in our classrooms, that we would be attentive and be drawing them near to you. Would your Spirit fill us in such a way that we would be a contagious community together, not just in our own lives, but that our life together, in our worship, in our home groups, in our time spent together, would be appealing for the world around us. Lord Jesus, teach us to be hospitable. Teach us to be wise and discerning. Help us to follow you in this way. Amen.